Good evening, everyone. Again, we're continuing in the Orchos Tzadikim. Again, we're going to do an overview of each chapter, whether you have Hebrew, whether you have English, and the hope being that you go back after we're done to go and review the chapter on your own, as we try to give a structure and a picture of what the author, the anonymous author, is saying over here. So last week we discussed gaiva, haughtiness. So now we're going to go to the opposite side. In the third chapter, the Orchos Tzadikim discusses humility, or anava, and what does humility look like, and how do we measure having anava and humility. He begins by telling us that anava is the opposite of gaiva. Obviously, it's the opposite of haughtiness, and it is the shoresh, it is the root of all avodas Hashem. And that's why, as I mentioned last week, Rabbi Baruch Chait, in his work on Midos, that comic book that he has for children, talks about gaiva and anava being the foundation of all Midos. And it leads to one having tov, having goodness in one's life. On the other hand, there's no greater bizarre, there's no greater disgrace to Hashem than if we use moments of kedusha, moments of holiness, when we stand before Hashem for ulterior motive, for personal gain. And rather, we always need to be humble before Hashem and people. We're going to talk about both in a moment. But now, before we get to the two different types of anava, first you have to define this. What is anava? What is humility? So the Orchos Tzadikim says that humility means it is the feeling and awareness of being unworthy before somebody else or something else. Now, the Bali Musar, including Rav Eli Lopian and Rav Leib Chasman, who is the Mashgiach in Chevron Yeshiva in Yerushalayim, they all explain as follows. And there's sometimes a misconception we'll return to at the end, but there's a misconception about humility. Anava doesn't mean that you're not aware of your abilities, or you say that you don't have any, there's nothing good about you, you're not smart, that you're not attractive, that you're not capable, that you're not good. That's not what anava means. Anava means it's an understanding that everything you have is from Hashem. That's what humility means. Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu believed in his abilities and his relationship with Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he was on a level that nobody else was on. But he also is anav mikol adam. He was also the most humble. Humility doesn't mean that you think that you're dirt. A person should know his or her abilities and what they can accomplish. But they also need to understand that your job in this world is to use those abilities. And you don't deserve any praise for any inherent skills or goodness that you have. You did a chesed, and you did pack for Tomchei Shabbos. So you want an award? You're supposed to pack for Tomchei Shabbos. That's your purpose in this world, is to help people out. You shouldn't feel that I deserve something because of the things that I do. Rav Yeruchim Levavitz, the famed Mashkiach in the Mir Yeshiva before the Holocaust, would say, "Oy to the person who doesn't know his faults, but 70 times oy, 70 times woe to the person who doesn't know his kochos, who doesn't know their abilities, what you're capable of, what's great about you, because then you don't understand what you can accomplish." So anava doesn't mean that you think that you're dirt and garbage and you have no place or no meaning or nobody loves you. Anava means that you're aware of your capabilities, but you shouldn't receive anything special for it. Because that's why you're here. You're here to use those capabilities to serve Hashem and help other people. So let's begin, says the Orchos Tzadikim, with two types of anava. First, let's talk about anava, humility, as it relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and let's talk as it relates to other people. It is the feeling, as it relates to Hashem, that you are never deserving of the goodness that Hashem has given you. We are lowly and Hashem is great, so why do we have all these good things in our life? Because Hashem chose it to be that way. But a person should never walk around the feeling of, oh, you know, the things that I have in life and the things that make my life wonderful, I'm entitled to them. Every single thing we have is a gift from Hashem, and we should be humbled by that. In fact, the Rambam writes this in the Laws of Yesodi HaTorah in Perek Beis. I'll quote a few of the Rambam. The Rambam says, when a person thinks about Hashem's amazing actions and his creations, and you see Hashem's brilliance in designing the world, and there's nothing that can be measured, and there's no end to Hashem's greatness, then immediately you'll love Hashem. Because you'll see how special Hashem is in creating the world. U'kishemechashev b'dvarim ha'elu atzma miyad hu nirsel acharav. And when you think about these things, says the Rambam, you'll shake, u'yivifacheid, and you'll be afraid, v'yodeh shu b'riya ketana, that you are so small in the context of the entire world. Shifla afela omedes b'das kala u'muet lefnei tam deos. How small and insignificant we are before Hashem. That's what it means to have humility. To know that Hashem is great and we are nothing compared to Him. In addition, there's another type of anava, says the Orach HaTzadikim, that comes through a person who's going through tsaros and difficulties, right? A person, unfortunately, loses a relative, somebody close to them, they're going through a difficult financial situation, and they feel lowly. Says the Orach HaTzadikim, that is not real anava. There's nothing special about feeling terrible when things in your life seem to be going terrible. Of course you're going to be humble. What's so great about that? The idea is to feel humble before Hashem when things are going great in your life, and you have a house, and you have a car, and everything's going great, and you get into the places you want to go, and your life is going in the place that you planned, and then you feel humble, that's what anava means before Hashem. So that is anava, part one, humility before Hashem. Let's talk about the more complicated area, or the more difficult one, perhaps, as it relates to people. Says the Orach HaTzadikim, one must always be humble when dealing with people, and you should act with humility and always be pleasant with them. Now, there are different levels of anava when dealing with people. He lists four different levels of humility with different types of people. Let's go from more difficult. Well, they're all difficult to really grasp on their own, but they're all different high levels of anava that we should be striving for. The first is when dealing with people who are socially on a lower level than you. Being humble with people who you think are not at your social class, whether it's an employee, somebody who works for you, or those less off, who are not as well-to-do as you. No, Rashi says on the Pasuk, Nasa Adam, that Hashem told the Malachim, told the heaven and earth, let us make man. Why did Hashem say, let us make man? They weren't. He wasn't asking anybody else. Hashem was going to make Adam Arishon. And the Rashi famously says that Hashem was teaching us derech eretz and humility. The greater the person should ask lower people for their opinion. And that's just good derech eretz and good anava. Now, this manifests itself in two areas, says the Orach HaTzadikim. The first is when trying to help them and lowering oneself to deal with their problems. Sometimes we feel, oh, like, you know, why should I like care about them? Like, their problems are not my problems. You see like some terrible thing in the news in some faraway place that some people who are downtrodden are having, you know, difficult times. And you like, you change the channel, you go to the next website because like, ugh, they're not my problem. They're like so far away. Humility means feeling and having a sensitivity to other people when perhaps they are not in your social class or social level when trying to understand their problems. The other area, he says, is that if such a person insults you, it's important not to answer back. Because it's very easy to feel that the person is ungrateful, so you should speak down to them. I'll give you a mashal that happens not infrequently, unfortunately. You are in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, and you're walking to the Old City, or you're in Mei Sharim, and somebody comes over and asks you for tzedakah, right? So you look in your wallet, and you take out a few shkalim, and you give it to the person, to the ani. And the ani makes a remark of, you know, that's not enough, give me more. So our initial reaction is, ah, disgusting. I'm giving them stuck in this, how they talk to me. That's terrible. They say bad things about me. No, 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 no. A person who's an anav will understand that this person is going through difficulties. This person obviously has their own problems. And with humility, they will either give more to the person, they will apologize to the person. But anava means that when dealing with somebody who is socially on a lower status than you, you don't speak down to them and you don't harm them. The second type of anava as relates to people is humility in front of teachers, chachamim, either because they are representatives of a Kadosh Baruch Hu or because one wants to learn from them and builds a relationship so they show a sense of humility. That's number two. Number three in the types of humility with people are teachers showing humility to students and teachers coming down to the level of the students so that the student can learn to the best of their ability. This means adapting to the student's way of learning and reviewing with the student as much time, as many times as possible. Sometimes the teacher thinks, ah, I am the teacher. I can't waste my time, you know, reviewing again or taking up my own personal time or, you know, explaining it on your level. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah in Perek Dalet, Harav shelimed velo havinu al talmidim, a teacher who teaches and the students don't understand, lo yichus aleihem, you should never get angry at them, v'yirgaz, or get upset. Elachozer v'shona, repeat and repeat, hadavar afilu kama pamim, chazara chazara, again and again, an shiavinu omek halacha, until they understand the halacha. That is humility, section number 3, dealing with other people. And the fourth example, says the Orach HaTzaddikim, is learning and studying from someone who is younger than you. Don't simply dismiss this person because you feel that it's beneath you to learn from someone who's younger than you, you know, not in your grade, you know, it's not the same background. In Pirkei Avos it says, Ma'od ma'od havei shval ruach b'fnei kol adam, in front of all people. So those are four examples where we can have anava, humility, with different people who are perhaps of different spheres than us. He also writes, regarding as it relates to people, that we should act in a way that improves society in general. When people see you acting in a way of humility and wonderful midos, they will want to act the same way, and they'll want their children to act the same way as well. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah Parakei, B'cheinim dikdei kachacham al atzmo, if a person is careful with himself, by a diburo benachas, and you speak nicely and pleasantly, im habrios, with other people, v'ato mu'urevis imam, and you are pleasant with them, u'mekablim b'sever panim yafos, and you have smile with people, v'ne'alav mehem v'ne'u olvim, and you have patience for them, you don't speak down to them, mechabed lehen afilu lekin lo, and you honor those who might even be lesser than you, v'nos v'nos and b'muna, and you are honest with them in business, ad shiimtsu hakol mekalsino, so everyone will praise you, v'ovim oso, they'll love you, u'mesavim lemasav, they'll want to act like you, ha'reze kiddush Hashem, it's a kiddush Hashem. So when you act with humility, it causes that sense of humility and kiddush Hashem to spread around the community as well. On the other hand, a bal gaiva, someone who is haughty, creates a chil Hashem and it moves people away from the Torah. You know, lemashal, a person who acts in an unsafe or an unhealthy way, and it causes others to act the same way. Whether it's somebody who is not social distancing, not wearing masks, things like that, it affects other people because the more people see somebody who is not following the safety protocols, so that creates a sentiment of, well, I don't have to do it as well. But the more that we keep safe, and the more that even you might have, you know, antibodies, or you might not, you know, believe a coronavirus is a hoax made up by the Chinese, whatever things you believe in. But the more we act in a safe way, that will create a society, and that will create a culture that will improve society and keep people safe, and it will just build up those feelings across all different parts of our society. Okay, are we clear so far on the two types of anava, Hashem and people? Now, the Orach HaTzaddikim moves on to give six examples, six simanim, six signs of people who act in ways of humility. Meaning, if you see somebody acting this way, you know that this person has anava, has humility. Case number one. He says a sign of humility is if a person is insulted or embarrassed and you could lash out, you could take revenge, but you don't. Why? Because a Kadosh Baruch Hu is there and instead you forgive him. Again, another example of Yiras Shemayim, Yiras Hashem, holding our midos together. I remember once I was in a pizza store in, let's keep it as vague, but slightly specific. I was in a pizza store in Teaneck once, and there was a man, a young man who was watching the counter in the pizza store, and he was collecting the money. And it was a very busy Sunday lunchtime, and he was collecting the money, and he was trying to, you know, also help out with the busy goings-on behind the counter. And there was a person who was at the counter, and she was getting her pizza, and she was also trying to pay. And the young man who was taking the money also wanted to help out, so he reached over, and he offered, got the slice, and handed it to the woman for this person and her kids they could have. And the lady blew up at this guy. Disgusting. You're handling the money with the same hands you're giving me the pizza. What's wrong with you? In front of the whole store. The whole store was silent. It was tremendously awkward. She embarrassed him in front of the whole place, and the young man said nothing. He had all the right in the world to say, you know, that's not how you respond. It's very busy back here. Give me a break. You know, he had all the reasons to say, you know, that was insulting what you did. And he said absolutely nothing. He apologized, and he kept on doing it. And he kept on going to his job. And I walked over to him after and said I was so impressed how he held himself and how he simply had such humility in that terribly embarrassing situation. Somebody who's able to do that is a siman, is a sign that they have anava. Two, a sign of anava is if you suffer a terrible tragedy and you're matzdik es hadin. You say that Hashem is just in everything that happens. We don't understand Hashem's ways, but you know that Hashem runs the world and Hashem is righteous in everything. That is a sign of humility. Three, if someone praises your accomplishments, you should think that whatever you did with your midos is only a small amount of what you could accomplish, and there's still more room to grow. Let's say a person is, you know, either they're involved in a local thing like Tomchei Shabbos or Einstein or whatever it may be, and they get a nice letter and a nice, you know, compliment. Oh, it's so wonderful that you are involved in this thing, and, you know, we're so impressed. A person should never think, ah, I did it. I was great. They should always feel, but I can do more. My midos can be better. I can do more chesed. I can be more involved. If they said now, let's see, he gives different levels over here. Okay? He said, if they said something nice about you, and it's not true. They said, you know, you're involved in this community chesed. That's so wonderful. So obviously, if you're not involved, don't take credit for it if you're not. That's lying, and that's not honest. Don't say like, oh, you're right. I pack boxes every single week for Tomchei Shabbos, but in fact, you don't. That's wrong. I think we can all agree to that. If they critique you, then you should admit to the criticism and don't try to defend yourself. Right? As Yehuda said when Tamar said something about him, tzadka mimeni, she is more righteous than me. In fact, that person is a messenger from Hashem who has been sent to correct your midos. Somebody comes and says, ah, you know, you didn't do this the right way, or your midos are off over here. You know, you didn't do this chesed properly. Then don't say like, ah, you leave me alone. I'm doing a chesed. Like, what's your problem? Like, now you're going to tell me how to do a chesed? No. That is a message from Hashem telling you how you can sharpen and be better in your midos. If the person critiqued you and then it was false, let's say the person came and said, you know, I saw you were driving somewhere the other day, and I know you, it looks like you were going to do a chesed, you were going to drop something off, and I saw you run through that red light. That wasn't safe. Now, you know it wasn't true. By all, you know 100% sure it wasn't true, and you didn't run through that red light. They misidentified you, whatever it may be. Don't be angry with them. In fact, says the Orach HaTzaddikim, we have a tradition that if someone says something bad about you and it's not true, then those bad things go on that person's cheshbon, their account in Shemayim. And at the end of their life, the Beis Din Shalmala will tell them about the certain bad things they did. And when they respond that they never did those things, the Beis Din will tell them that they falsely accused others of the same things, and therefore it went on their accounting. Wow, that is very harsh. If you falsely accuse someone of something and it wasn't true, and you continue to press them that what they did was wrong, and you know that you're saying something false, on your sheet in Shemayim, there, that's going to be on your accounting, even though you never did it yourself. Lily.
There I am.
Okay. So now we see that bearing shame and silence was the Midah of Hillel, as we know from the stories. Moshe Rabbeinu, when Miriam, his sister, spoke Lashon Hara about him as well. It's to bear shame and silence is a good Midah. If a person is giving a bracha, someone gives you kavod, honor, and health, or all good things, the response should always be to be even more humble before Hashem. Look at Avram Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us in a few parshios ago that Avram is so chashuv, Avram is so important, that I have to tell him about the impending destruction of stone. Because Avram is so important to me, I can't tell him about the destruction of stone without telling him first. Imagine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to you in a dream and says, oh, by the way, I'm letting you know that there's going to be this thing going on in the world tomorrow. I just want you to know about it because you and I were very close. We're buddies. So I'm going to let you know what's going to be in the news tomorrow. Imagine how you would feel. What does Avram Avinu say to Hashem? He lowers himself even more. What does he say? V'anochi afar ve'efer. I am dirt and I am ashes before you, Hashem. I'm nothing. Avram didn't boast. Oh, look at that. Hashem told me what was going to be in the news tomorrow. No. Avram said, oh, I'm even more humble before Hashem. There's a beautiful comment from the Beis HaLevi in that week's Parsha, in Parsha's Vayera. And the Beis HaLevi explains, what's the difference between dust and ashes? They're both, you know, garbage. Like, why do I have to be afar and afar, dust and ashes? So he explains that afar, dirt, is not chashuv now. There's nothing chashuv about having dirt right now. But when will dirt be important? It will be important later when it brings vegetation and other foods from the ground. Right now, it does nothing special. But in the future, in a few days or a few weeks or a few months, it will bring forth fruit and food from the ground. Afer, ash, is not chashuv now. It's ash, something was burnt. But it was something chashuv, it was something in the past. It was chametz, it was bread, it was a piece of wood, it was something that was impressive, and now it's nothing, it's worthless, before it was burnt. Therefore, he says, Anava, says the Beis HaLevi, speaks to someone to be humble about his past, what he was before, and also humble about the future, what he's going to do in the future. Humility needs both, about what I did in the past, and also about what I'm going to accomplish in the future. Now, in this case, this person who has a lot, bracha, kavod, accomplishments, great things going on in their life, they've achieved, they have wisdom, whatever it may be. In general, having a lot of wealth or wisdom in this world means one of three things, says the Aruch HaTzadikin. Either it means it's something good from Hashem, and how do you know that? If you use your wealth and wisdom to help others, it's a siman that it's a bracha from Hashem. Or it's a test. If the person is paranoid, always afraid of losing his money, losing his wisdom, it's never going to be enough, but he doesn't hurt anybody with it, then that's most likely a test from Hashem. But if a person uses wisdom or wealth to hurt other people, or they boast about their money or their wisdom, they're obsessed with it, then that is a sign that it is a punishment from Hashem, and they'll be judged by this in the next world. Therefore, says the Aruch HaTzadikim, a smart person will see himself as an equal to his neighbors, and think of how he could use his financial situation or wisdom to assist others in need. How would be using the brach that Hashem gave him for the he would be using that brach that Hashem gave him for the right purpose. When you have bracha, goodness, wealth, wisdom, accomplishments, use that to help other people. Share that with other people. Now, how can, this is just a side point, how can you have the balance of anava after accomplishing something, right? How do we walk that tightrope of, you know, I got into this, you know, seminary, college program I wanted to get into. I did all these wonderful things, but at the same time being humble. One second. What was this? How do you know where to draw the line of having anava and not talking back, but also being walked over, not disrespectful? Okay, so that's a good question. A person should know that in most cases, it's always going to be better not to talk back. You're always going to win out not to talk back in most cases, unless we're talking about abuse. If somebody is abusing you, and they are taking advantage of you and hurting you, so then you have to speak up. But if somebody is just like, you know, giving you a hard time and just, you know, in a bad mood, so then to the best of your ability, take it, swallow it, it'll be over in a minute, you're gone with your day, you know, a person's having issues, you know, just don't make such a big deal out of it. But if a person is in a relationship that is abusive and the person is constantly being beaten down, no compliments ever, then there's no mitzvah to be a shmata and to be stepped upon. Does that help? Yeah? Okay. Are you allowed to say something in a boastful way if you're joking around? You gotta be careful. It has to be clear to everybody, you know, it has to be clear, you know, what's going on. If it's very, very clear and it's, you know, very obvious to everybody, then yes. But if it's going to give off a perception to somebody else that you're being, not nice about these things, then you have to be careful. Yeah, Abby.
So obviously, when people compliment your accomplishments, you have to acknowledge Hashem. But if every time you get a compliment, you just say, "Well, that could be better," then isn't that going to lead to a low self-esteem?
No. So just say thank you. We're talking about internally. Internally, what you should think, what you should feel. You don't want to be as we call kafli tov, a lack of a karas tov. Somebody says something nice to you, so then thank them. Thank you so much. That was very nice. I appreciate the comments. But internally, your feeling should always be, I can always do more. Not in like a beat down, I'm a nothing type of, dirt type of way. But you should feel that if someone says, great job, and your inner response should be, I did a good job, but either this was a gift from Hashem, my talents is something that just Hashem gave me, or I did a good job, but I can always do better next time as well. Yeah, Ayala.
So if someone gives you a compliment and you don't really agree with it, not how like you were saying it before, like that it's 100% not true, like it might be something that they think is true, but you think that like you totally don't deserve that compliment, should you just like say thank you and make it seem like you're accepting the compliment, or should you like try to say like I'm not that, like I don't know, like not accepting?
You again, if the you mean the is this the thing they said about you not true at all?
I mean, clearly they like it's more of a subjective thing, not like you do this.
Okay, so there's a way to say, I was just trying my best, something like that. There's a way to say, you don't have to say like, oh, thank you so much, I'm just amazing, thank you for recognizing how just, wonderful I am. But again, you just say thank you, and internally a feeling of, this is what Hashem has given me, I'm here in this world to, be a better person anyway, and it doesn't make me any better than anybody else. So how do you, Rina?
I have a question. Going back to the, if someone says something false about you, then it's on their account.
Yeah.
Is it they know it's false and they're still saying it, or they're just assuming, but it was false?
They're knowingly saying something false about you.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So how can we have that bouncing anava after accomplishing something as well? So the Sefer Reishis Chachma, one of the great Balei Musar, teachers of Musar from hundreds of years ago, so he writes in the Shara Nava a beautiful mashal, and I think this mashal really highlights a healthy way to balance this. He says, let's say two people both received an income of $100,000. It's a nice income, it's a nice salary. One lives in a poor community, and the other lives in a community of millionaires. The first individual who lives in the community of poor people, who has the $100,000 salary, is going to feel haughty amongst his peers, right? He's going to feel like, they make this, but look what I make. I'm very chashuv. I make this much money. But the second individual, who now makes a salary of $100,000...
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
So what if he says, like, oh, like, I made this, like, more money, but, like, it's from Hashem, like, you're recognizing it, but, like, at the same time, you're still being haughty because you're saying, like, oh, like, I made more money. But...
Good, good. One second. He's bringing a mashal. He wants to give a... There's nothing... He's bringing a mashal. He's trying to learn a lesson. So let me finish the mashal first, then you'll come back and you'll understand it. But he says the second individual who now makes $100,000 salary, he's still going to feel humble. Why? Because his neighbors are millionaires, right? So he says, similarly, when we accomplish or gain something in life, we need to realize that we may have things that others don't have, but we are still so far away from the ruchnius, the spirituality, the wisdom, and the power of Hashem. And that's what it means to be humble before Hashem. Meaning, yes, I accomplished something, and I did great. $100,000 is a nice salary, it's very comfortable, and that's very nice. But I want you to understand, says the Reishis Chachma, that there's a lot more out there. There's a lot more to accomplish, and that's what it's about. It's not about necessarily looking down on people, but rather it's about looking up and seeing how much more we can do. He then goes on to say, again, within these, within the six different ways. That was all that we just discussed. That was all the fourth way of a person who's giving kavod and bracha and good things and being humble before Hashem. That was all, that whole piece was the fourth way. The fifth type, simon, the fifth sign of anava, is a person who's able to find his own faults after doing the wrong thing, and you can recognize on your own that you made a mistake, and you can bring yourself to ask for forgiveness without being asked to do so. That is a simon, that is a sign of anava. He can also, the fifth one here, is that you can see your own faults right away. And you can recognize right away when you made a mistake and ask forgiveness. You don't have to be told. You don't have to be pointed out to you when you messed up. A real humble person will understand and be sensitive to when they mess up and be able to recognize that and ask for forgiveness on their own. Not have to be told about it. Okay? You know, you're also able to share mistakes with other people. You're not embarrassed to say, you know, I also messed up. I also, you know, to lift other people up and to share, you know, where perhaps you messed up as well and to share with other people. Yes.
Is it lashon hara to say about your mistake?
We have the famous concept in the name of the Chafetz Chaim that it is lashon hara to say lashon hara about yourself. If you're doing it, however, l'toelas, for a benefit, because you want to lift somebody else up, and you want to share with them, I also, you know, messed up over there. But let me tell you how, you know, I overcame it and I did better and how I got better at it. That's okay, because that's for a toelas. That's for a purpose. It's not just to, you know, beat you down and to make yourself feel bad. Okay? But excellent point. The sixth simon, the sixth sign of humility, says the Orach HaTzaddikim, is acting in a way that doesn't draw attention to oneself, is also a sign of anava. Speaking softly, the famous introduction to the letter of the Ramban, where the Ramban tells his son that if you speak softly, it will take care of a lot of other bad midos. And not being preoccupied with wearing beautiful clothing, having beautiful objects to draw attention, which we spoke a lot about last time. But again, a simon, a sign of humility, is not acting in a way that draws attention to oneself. Yeah.
I remember being told this a lot of times, and I was always wondering, like, for people who are naturally outgoing and, I don't know, like, loud, that not, like, obnoxiously loud, but just normal loud.
Yeah.
Who, like, people, like, I guess that can draw attention to yourself. Should you, like, try to, like, not be your personality, or just, like, within that, try to be humble?
I think there's a way to channel it. I think there's a way to, you know, if you're a naturally outgoing person, so then I think for somebody who is that type of person, a healthy way to channel it is to use that to bring other people in. You know, you see somebody who in a crowd who looks like on their outside, so go over them and try to bring them into the crowd and try to, you know, bring them into the group of people. Not to be the one who has to stand up, you know, to be the first one to stand up, you know, on the chair at the Shabbaton and to be the one who's screaming and dancing the first one there. You know, there's nothing wrong with that person. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that person. But it's a sign of anava when a person does not want to be the center of attention and acts in a way that does not want to draw things towards their circle. Yeah, Lily.
Is there exceptions to like being a bride or like if you're bar mitzvah?
Oh, okay. Of course. There are times where a person needs to step up, and a person needs to be the center of attention, either because that's what the situation demands, that's what their role is, and obviously there are going to be exceptions to the rule. But it shouldn't be, you know, your life should not be one long, you know, looking for attention. Yeah, Daniela.
Okay, so obviously I'm not a quiet person, but like, I feel like I always get, like people always say, like, whoever I meet with, like, like, it's not, like, an idle thing, and, like, they're very into just being, like, quiet people. Like, quiet is, like, nice and sneeze and whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, for me, it's so hard because I'm not quiet at all. So, like, I feel like, is it, like, an avera to me?
No, it's not an avera. It's not, again, what he said here, first of all...
Am I trying to, like, draw attention?
No, what he said was, let me clarify, what he said was, this is a simon. This is a sign that such an individual has another. It doesn't mean that you can't be a person who draws who you know is just happens to be a person who draws attention, and you're not an anav, you're not a humble person. But if your person is this, it is a sign that they do have a sense of humility.
No, I know, but I'm saying that you feel.
It's not an avera. It's not an avera.
No, I'm saying obviously being more quiet and like just like not drawing attention to yourself shows that you have anava. But I feel like you would still be a loud person and like have anava because. And like you're be, like more like humble, just because you're loud doesn't mean that you're not.
So there is a way to. I think some of it comes with just also growing up, and you know, as a person, you know, develops more in life, that they learn how to channel these things. They learn how to channel, you know, those abilities they have into ways that will be more constructive, and you know, more helpful for themselves. But I think it'll be okay. Yeah, Abby. Because that's what the job demands. But the teacher's not doing it because, hopefully, the teacher's not doing it because they feel that they are entitled to that. They do it because they feel that they want to make sure the students are learning and getting the material. The teacher needs to act in a way that will earn the respect of those in the classroom. And they'll want to pay attention. And the teacher may demand respect because they want the material to be taught. It is a fine line. It's not, it's hard to walk. It's no different than a teacher, even a rabbi. You know, the rabbi of a shul gets up in front of a shul and decides that it's the advance of the shul that they hear him speak for 15 to 20 minutes Shabbos morning in the middle of davening. You know, that takes a bit of, you know, a gaiva, whatever it is. I'm not sure whatever you want to call it. That a person is going to say, you know, I feel that people need to come and listen to what I have to say. I hear. It's a balance that they have to be extremely careful about. And those positions are the most difficult. Those are the most difficult because the position seems to demand attention. And unfortunately, that's why you find sometimes that people in those positions can behave badly because they come to believe all those things that people say about them. And it can be very dangerous. Yeah. Michal.
So what about like a big rav? Like if someone's like asking like advice from a big rav, like are they just supposed to say like, no, like I need to be humble? Like,
so
like, that's your job, obviously.
They tell a story about Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the rav of Brisk. That he would come to, the Rav Chaim was the Rav of Brisk, but he didn't answer Shilas. He sent them to the Dine of Brisk, Rav Simcha Zelig Rieger. So they came to Rav Chaim one day. They used to come to Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim used to say, like, I don't know, go ask Rav Zelig, go ask Rav Simcha Zelig, I don't know, like, don't ask me. So there was a student of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik who was, I guess, a young rabbi in the community as well, or a young Rebbe somewhere, and people were coming to him, and he was kind of like copying his Rebbe, and he was saying, oh, I don't know, I'm not sure, I don't know, like all this humility. So Rav Chaim went over to him and said, you need to stop doing that. So he said, why? He said, because when they come to me and I say, I don't know, they think that, like, he knows, but he's just being humble, so let's go ask Rav Simcha Zelig. But when they come to you and you say, I don't know, they think that you don't know and you're an Amaretz. So you have to... There is this balance, again, as well. If a person puts themselves... Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in his introduction to the Gross Moshe, where he says that nobody came and appointed me like Gadol Ador. Like, that's not how it works. Rav Moshe Feinstein, if you know anything about Rav Moshe Feinstein, it was his humility and his anava. Just read the biography. It's all about his humility, his anava, which he saw with his son Rav David, Zecher Tzadok Livracha as well. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says... I'm not writing this book of my tshuvos because I feel everybody needs to hear them. What happened was is that somebody came to me, they asked me a shaila, they liked the answer I gave, and they told their friends, and their friends told their friends, and it happened organically on its own. But no rav, no person answering shailas should ever think like, they must come to me. I am the best. I am the center of attention. I can answer all questions. It should happen from an organic sense of, you know, being in that position. And, you know, people turning to them because they feel comfortable asking them their questions. Someone asked you what you got on the test and you know it'll upset them, should you not say? What if it annoys them too? So when it comes, that's an issue of being mishanim pnei hashalom, for lying for the sake of for the sake of peace, something like that. You're allowed to do that. If you think it'll just make people, you know, more relaxed and not talk about test grades, you're allowed to lie. Yeah, Abby.
If you notice that someone is kind of acting in a not humble way,
Hold on one second, Abby. Let's get to the end of the parak, and then I'll take all questions at the end. Okay? Just also for the sake of time, in case people want to, we'll go into other things this evening. Okay. So he said, unless it's specific to, you know, what I'm going to say. Says Yor Chasadikim, Anava is the ladder in which you climb in order to walk in the path of Hashem. He says the reason is that when one has Anava, it allows them to have Yor Shemaim, to have fear of heaven. And this is what the Ramban writes in his letter. And this is, you know, the idea that Anava leads to Yiras Hashem. And we learn from Har Sinai that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to be close to those who are humble, right? Hashem wanted to rest, give the Torah on Har Sinai, the most humble mountain. We all know the song from nursery. So, and that's why Har Sinai was chosen, because of its humility. The Ben Ish Chai, the Ben Yehoyada, writes in Masechta Sotah and Daf Hei. It says that he has a beautiful pshat in Shir Lamalos, Esayinai El Harim, Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Listen to this. Shir Lamalos, Esayinai El Harim. He says, when I look up at the tall mountains, I raise up my eyes to the tall mountains, I wonder, how come the Torah wasn't given on them? Why? Because in order to have Ezri, the help of Hashem, i.e. the Torah, to have that which helps us, Ezri, that which helps us become better Jews, and to have that Torah, you need to be Ayin. May Ayin means, literally means from where, but Ayin also means nothing, like Ain. You need to be Ain, you need to make yourself nothing before Hashem, like Har Sinai. So it's not have, you don't have to be the place where you look up to the tall mountains, but rather, where does Hashem rest? On Ayin, that who makes themselves, you know, nothing before Hashem. Now, what does a person get for Hanava? So he gives a lot of beautiful midos that you get if you have Anava. First of all, you get patience in making shalom, because it will cause other people to be calm as well. It will create chen, where people will want to be nice to you. Your tefillah will be more accepted because you are being mevater and you're giving of yourself. The story of Rabbi Akiva was answered when he said Avinu Malkeinu, because according to the Gemara, because he was mevater and always gave in to other people. We have to have a sense of how amazing it is that we can stand before the Borei Olam and speak to him, and to forget about other things that are going on around you, and to concentrate on what you're saying to Hashem. Anava gives a person chachma, wisdom, because he looks to learn from other people, and you're not haughty to open your mind up to other people. He'll also cause you to run away from kavod. It makes you sameach bechelko, and allows the person to spend more of their energy on ruchnias, because they're not looking to have stuff all the time. You also allows you to be down the kaf zuchus, and always sees the wonderful qualities in other people. A person with anava will be sensitive to the pain of a friend. He'll always judge his friend the way he would like his friend to be judged, his friends to judge him. And the Or HaTzadikim writes that if your friend has more wisdom than you, then you should assume that he has more Yiras Shamayim than you. Which is an interesting thing to say. Just because my friend has more wisdom, he means he has more, I should also be down the kaf zuchus, he has more Yiras Shamayim. So Rav Chaim Friedlander, in his Sefer Sifsei Chaim and Midos, he says, if the other person has more wisdom, should I be down the kaf zuchus, that he's better than me? If in reality he's just better than me because he has more wisdom. So he explains, as we said before, chachma, wisdom, ability are all gifts from Hashem. And therefore there's nothing about that person that's inherently greater. If you have a friend who aces all their tests, there's nothing special about them at all, because that's just wisdom that Hashem gave them to them. That was a gift from Hashem. There's nothing that they did. But Yiras Hashem and Ruchnias is something that's internally developed, and therefore it's something that's truly great. And therefore we should be down the kaf zuchus that other people have more Yiras Shemayim than we have. Yeah, Ricky.
So you have to do your best, and then Hashem does the rest. Like you have free choice. So obviously, when you do things, and like when you study for a test, it's you that put in the effort.
Correct, but also Hashem, you need the effort, but also that the ability to understand and to put that stuff in your brain that it should stay there is also a gift from Hashem. You need to put in your hishtadlus, your effort, but wisdom, accomplishments, things like that are all things that Hashem helps you out anyway with. So you shouldn't feel jealous of anybody else. Ayala.
Okay,
So if you do well on a test, you shouldn't be like proud of yourself?
You can be proud of yourself, but also understand that it was with Siyasa Dishmaya. You can be jealous of someone's Yirah Shamayim. That's what we call Kinas Sofrim, that you should be jealous of someone else's Ruchnias. Ask me about it at the end, and I'll tell you a beautiful verse about that. If a person has Anava, the other deficiencies will be ignored around him as well. Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says in Daf Sadi Beis that a person should always be humble, then you'll continue to exist. What does that mean? Meaning, if you're humble, people will ignore all your other problems. The Mishnah says in Nagayim that if you have a house that's dark and there might be tzaras there, don't turn on the lights. Why? Because if you turn on the lights, you might see the tzaras. Better to keep the lights off so nobody sees it. Be humble. Stay close to the ground. If you call attention to yourself, people are going to notice your other faults. But if you're humble, you don't draw attention to yourself, they're not going to notice if you have any other faults. Now, he does end the section here talking about improper anava. Let's just talk about that quickly. One should not be humble in front of rishayim, people who are doing the wrong thing. Instead, you should stand up to those who do the wrong thing, who act improperly. The Arachayim HaKadosh calls this anava pesula, false anava. If you can rebuke somebody, guide somebody away from damaging behavior, and you choose not to, because of humility, that's wrong. Okay. In addition, it's false anava to get things from other people and to mislead people. Oh, the person's very humble, and you try to get people to like you just because you want to pretend you're being humble. I'll make two more comments. How can we balance knowing when to stand back because of anava or when to stand up? You know, Moshe Rabbeinu was anav mikol adam. But let's go through Moshe Rabbeinu's life. He hit the Mitzri. He protected the daughters of Yisrael from the shepherds. He walked into the house of Paro without being scared. He broke the luchos on his own. Those are very chashev. Those are very powerful things. So how does that fit with being anav mikol adam? So Rav Chaska Levinstein, the Mir Mashkiach, explains that true anava comes from recognizing that Hashem is everything, and Hashem is the focus of everything that goes on in our lives. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu is before you at all times, then you're never going to raise yourself up above others. But at the same time, you'll only fear Hashem, and you'll never feel people. You'll never fear other people. And when you feel that you are so far away from what you can really attain in your relationship with Hashem, then you'll view others as being better than you. Moshe saw Hashem in every single thing he did. And he also saw how fragile and unimportant Olam Hazeh is. And at the same time, he would never want to be the leader of Klal Yisrael, and he would want his brother Aaron to be the leader instead. And that's the example that we can learn from Moshe. Moshe wasn't a pushover. He did very intense, very tough things because he had Hashem in front of him at all times. If you keep Hashem in front of you all the time, you'll be humble in front of everybody, but you also won't be afraid of anybody when you have to do the right thing. Unfortunately, and this is the last point the Orcha Tzadika makes, we live in a time where gaiva and self-promotion are very popular. The Orcha Tzadikim says, V'al timna ba'avur shetira harbein bibli gilecha osim kein. Don't look around and say, well, you know, everyone's on Instagram, and this person's on Twitter, and they're promoting themselves over here, and this one's talking about, you know, what they're selling over here, and, you know, this shaitel over here, and looking at what they did to their kitchen over here, and they're promoting. And a person looks around and says, everybody around me is promoting. They're all promoting themselves and talking up themselves all the time. So he says, if you can control yourself and not get sucked into self-promotion and putting yourself out there, you're going to live a much happier and much more fulfilled life. Hamachshivim kach, people who think that self-promotion is the right way, shtus in dugmasa. There is nothing as stupid as that at the end of the day. Rav Pam Roshi of Torah Vadas would say that a person who looks for more fame and more kavod and more attention is lessened and you become debased. You become so silly and so odd that you reduce your quality and your value. We don't need to promote ourselves. We don't need to put it out there. We can look for recognition from Hashem and try to connect to Hashem. And at the end of the day, as the Gemara says, Simen legasas ruach anias b'torah. You know, if a person is lacking in Torah, it shows a sense of hardiness. And therefore, we need to always striving for anava.